It can allow you to relive an experience you have long forgotten. It can also provide an entirely new point of view to that experience. The power of poetry has been lost to many. Let's go discover some of Milton's poetry.
Maybe you got lost somewhere, swimming too far off the beach, off the coast.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Rob. Welcome to The Cause. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today we open the fourth volume of the Harvard Classics series, where we will be covering John Milton's poetry and Paradise Lost. I plan to break the poetry up into three videos, which is kind of how it's broken up in the fourth volume. Video 4 will be Paradise Lost, and then we'll go on from there. So I'm really looking forward to see what we can pull from Volume 4. I think it's going to be an exciting volume. And in an act of transparency, I just want to say I am not the biggest fan of poetry. Call it a lack of appreciation, admittedly. But that could change. I mean, I'm kind of enjoying these ones by Milton. I feel I can read and understand it okay, but I am not a scholar by any means in this style of writing. What I pull from any of these stories, or the prose, or even the poetry, is just what I can conjure up in my little noggin up here. Now, I've covered the basic history of John Milton in a previous video at the introduction to Areopagitica, so I will be steering clear of that in this video, and we will focus more on John Milton's poetry. We will be starting with the poems that John Milton wrote at his time in school and college when he was in his early 20s. So he is a young lad at this point, just entering the age of adulthood. The next video will cover the next set of poems while he was at Horton, and then so on. I'm also not going to cover every single poem in each one of these sections. Some of them are just a few lines long, and that would kind of make for a long video. With that being said, let's begin. I just want to start out by saying it may be hard to understand some of these poems unless you have the context behind the poem. If you're not versed in the scripture, then some of these poems may be kind of foreign, or they may be very hard to understand. These writers from this period, such as Milton, were so well read and spoke and wrote in so many different languages. So the context and the ideas and the histories and stuff that they're pulling from, it almost seems foreign at this part in history, but it honestly is so refreshing to read about. Take your time and chew and digest the poems, as Bacon would say. I am learning that poetry has to be read completely different than prose. The pauses matter. The cadence matters. The flow and the punctuation, they all have to be considered. You have to stress the words when needed to allow the poem to kind of just absorb into you. Now, I have not perfected this by any means, but practicing this has allowed the poems to kind of permeate a little bit deeper than they otherwise would. And I'll say too, reading poetry like this is almost like you're becoming part of the poem. And I think that's kind of one of those, you know, you've kind of really understood it when you get so immersed that you can feel, you can smell, you can taste everything that they're kind of talking about. Because in these poems by Milton, they're so descriptive that you can kind of lose yourself in the senses of the poem. The first poem we have is On the Morning of Christ's Nativity. Now, I'm not going to read it all the way through or anything, but there are some great takeaways from the poem. We first notice from a young age that Milton is highly influenced by religion. He is a devout Protestant, and he seems to be consumed with faith from a young age. The poem starts off by telling the story of the Nativity. He covers the virgin birth and the reasons of Jesus' coming, that he, our deadly forfeit, should release, and with his Father work us a perpetual peace. About midway through the poem, another theme stuck out to me. It was the age-old theme of light and the darkness. The cave in the light, so to speak, introduced by Plato in the Republic. So I found this stanza to be very interesting. The sun himself withheld his wonted speed and hid his head for shame, as his inferior flame, the new enlightened world, not more should need. He saw a greater sun appear than his bright throne or burning axle tree could bear. This reference of the sun giving up its power, its prestige to Jesus is powerful. A new sun had arrived that would not go away at night, but would shine forever. A constant light, so to speak. Milton's wording here is what I like to call poetically clear, because after you read it a few times, it's so clear on the meaning that you can't help but understand it. The most beautiful stanza of this poem comes towards the end, in my opinion. I just love the way he stitched together the words here. So, when the sun in bed, curtained with cloudy red, pillows his chin upon an orient wave, the flocking shades pale troop to infernal jail. I remember watching the sunset many times whenever I was stationed in California, and the sun would literally be resting on the water, kind of being engulfed by waves as it sunk into the ocean. That line, pillows his chin upon an orient wave, is something I have witnessed so many times. I can see it. I can hear the waves. It literally took me back to those moments on the beach or on a cliff or any of those, just watching that sun sinking down into the ocean. The next poem I want to discuss is The Death of the Fair Infant. Now, my youngest child is right at 6 months old, so this one kind of hits different than it would have I read it, you know, whenever I was younger. The beauty in which Milton can discuss a sorrowful subject, in my opinion, is kind of amazing. The stanza where the soul leaves the body, enters heaven, and meets God is just, it's amazing. The more times I read it, the more impactful it kind of becomes. So see what you think. So, mounting up an icy pearled car, through middle empire of the freezing air, he wandered long, till thee he spied from far. There ended was his quest, there ceased his care. Down he descended from his snow-soft chair, but all unawares, with his cold, kind embrace, unhoused thy virgin soul from her fair abiding place. Think about that. God unhoused the little soul from her fair abiding place. The wording is amazing, in my opinion. If it doesn't give you a feel, then I don't know what will. Next, I'll skip over to the poem on Shakespeare, and I like this one because it makes a great point. No pyramids or statues need to be erected for Shakespeare. His works live on in the hearts of all the generations that have lived after him. We forget the brave knights and the kings of the time, but we do not forget Shakespeare. Now, Milton seemed to be certain that Shakespeare would never lose his fame or stature. Yet, sadly, as time passes and society changes, his fame is diminishing. The last line of the poem still holds value. Though, in our wonder and astonishment, has built thyself a livelong monument. And then he ends the poem with this line, that kings for such a tomb would wish to die. Fame from love, compared to fame for power or evil, holds a separate place in your heart. Contributing something of value to the world is, in my opinion, one of the best ways to be remembered. We seem to have too many Herostratuses nowadays and not enough creators. There is a poem called Another on the Same, which had a quick line I really enjoyed. Here lieth one who did most truly prove that he could never die while he could move. So hung his destiny never to rot, while he might still jog on and keep his trot. Let movement be thy medicine. I like this one because it's just a good reminder to go on a walk and just move. And then the last poem I want to go over is the poem on being arrived at the age of 23. Apparently, Milton was judging himself pretty harshly because his expectations of where he should be in life were completely different than mine when at the age of 23. He discusses his youth slipping away and not being successful as he had hoped to be by that time. See what you think. How soon hath time, the subtle thief of youth, stolen on his wing my 23rd year. My hasting days fly on with full career, but my late spring no bud or blossom showeth. Perhaps my semblance might deceive the truth that I to manhood am arrived so near, and inward ripeness doth much less appear. When we are younger, and even now, we want everything so quick. We always want to be older than what we currently are. The subtle thief of youth, as Milton puts it, always answers that wish. We all know that time is something you can't get back, and utilizing it the best way we can is important. I like how he shows a lack of confidence, and even a vulnerable side here. Looking back, it's easy to dismiss the irony of Milton at the age of 23, thinking he's not good enough, or that he won't be anything, or something like that. But that feeling for Milton at the age of 23, that feeling was real. That feeling of being behind, not keeping up with society, not meeting the expectations of your peers, your parents, your teachers, it can wear on you. And I think that's a good lesson in life. Don't judge where you're at. You got your whole life ahead of you. There's still time. Regardless where you're at in life, there is always still time to squeeze a little bit more out of that lemon. Squeeze that lemon. That wraps up the first set of poems by John Milton. I hope you enjoyed my two cents on the outline of this first set. We have two more sets to go through, and then we'll dive into Paradise Lost. I hope you have been enjoying the series. I love making these. It's such a joy. I don't know why I like it so much. As discussed before, I am going to be adding some other books to the channel that we'll be going over. I am working on those now. If you want to purchase some coffee, the link is always in the description. Use the code THECAUS for 15% off your first order. With that being said, I love you. Pour a cup of amazing coffee, open an amazing book, and just enjoy life. Learn to garden, learn to sustain. Times are changing, and I shall see you soon. Later.
I was making lots of noise, busking on the city streets. I came back from Brooklyn, but you didn't come back for me.